Thanks, Lindsay.
Death. It's something we don't talk about a lot. It's something that people naturally don't like to focus on. But death is a part of life. And death is certainly a part of the Christian life. In fact, the central symbol of the Christian faith is a symbol of death, the cross. Jesus' death made possible our new life. And the language of both death and life is also used in the Bible to describe followers of Jesus. In fact, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, we read this description where it says, for each of us who are followers of Jesus, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So as we continue our series in Colossians and come to chapter 3 today, we find both death and life being used to describe important aspects of following Jesus. In fact, as Lindsay just said in verse 3, it says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." For you died. In a spiritual sense, Paul is saying the old sinful, self-centered nature of you died when you became a follower of Jesus and you were given new life in Jesus. But Paul also goes on to say that living as a follower of Jesus means keeping on putting to death the old way of thinking, the old nature, the old habits, the old feelings. Dying to self and our sinful nature is not just a once-off thing. It's actually a daily thing that we need to do, because old habits die hard, because old ways of thinking and old ways of responding and old ways of living need completely getting rid of, is what Paul is saying. I've just had my annual health checkup this last week. I try to be proactive every year in being attentive to my health and well-being, and part of that includes an annual visit to my GP and a full gamut of tests. So many that I felt like the nurse took half of my blood out of me on early Tuesday morning. But nevertheless, why do I do that? I do that to make sure that there's not areas of my physical health that need attention. And spiritually, here in Colossians, Paul, as we come to chapter 3, Paul is encouraging us to have a spiritual health checkup, to make sure that there's not things that might be getting in the way, not just of our own spiritual health, but the spiritual health of the community of God's people. And that's a really important thing to understand. Paul is not just speaking about things that affect just our relationship with God. Paul's speaking about things that affect our relationship with others in community, and in community particularly as God's people. Because what I'm like and what you're like doesn't just affect us, but it affects our relationships with others. Not only God, but other people. Community is at the heart of God's purposes for us as God's people. And that's why Paul is so strong here in chapter 3 in saying, get rid of or put to death those things that destroy or break community. This isn't so much a list of moral things. People often look at them and say, oh, this is about moral stuff. And yes, it is. But there's more to it than that. This is about community. And just as when a car battery needs restarting, the jumper leads to restart a car battery need to be connected to what? Both the negative and the positive leads. God gives us both the negative and the positive in Colossians chapter 3. The negative things, that's what we're focusing on today, the things to get rid of or put to death. The community breakers, let me call them. But today's message goes hand in hand or alongside next week's one from Pastor Andy, which will focus on community builders, the positive things that God calls us to build into our lives, that build up community as God's people, which follow the reading that Lindsay read to us this morning. But three questions very simply for today. Question number one, what is it that I need to be reminded of? You know, I often need reminding of things in my everyday life. That's the reason I have alerts and notifications on my phone. They remind me of what I've got, where I've got to be when I've got things to do. They remind me of things that in the midst of everyday life, important things that I need to remember. What do we need to be reminded of as followers of Jesus, though? What important truths do we need to be reminded of that we can easily forget in the midst of everyday life? Paul gives us some of those here, as I read again from verse 1, as Lindsay did. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. The first truth to be reminded of is that, as it says here, we've been raised with Christ. If you're a follower of Jesus, that means that you've been raised with Christ. Raised with Christ to what? Raised with Christ to live in his resurrection power. Raised with Christ to live with an eternal, bigger picture perspective. And that's why Paul says what he says here. He says, he goes on to say after, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. If you're a follower of Jesus, as much as Satan might try to discourage or deceive you, as much as Satan might try to condemn you or con you, you have been raised with Christ to live in the new life that he has for you. Am I capable of that in and of myself? No. But Paul reminds us here of the important truth that in and through the risen Jesus, I am and you are. As we sang earlier, and as Romans describes to us in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. These are not just words. These are not just beliefs. These are truths that can make a difference in our everyday lives. The first important truth to remember is that I've been raised with Christ. And I can live in his resurrection power. In and of myself, I can't do it. But in and through the risen Jesus, I can. The second truth to be reminded of is in verse 3. It says, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Again, the reality is, yes, we died to our own sinful nature, Paul says here. But we're still people who struggle with sin in its different shapes and forms. None of us are perfect. None of us are complete. And this is why what Paul says here is such an important truth. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. What does that mean? It means that for a follower of Jesus who has been raised to new life, we are secure in Christ. That no matter how much Satan might try to condemn us when we stumble or when we struggle, we have an assurance that in Christ and in his love, we are secure. Jesus describes it in John chapter 10, reading from verse 28, where Jesus says these words, words of assurance. And from John chapter 10, from verse 28, he says, My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. And Paul, again, in the book of Romans 8, verse 39, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. These are important truths that make a very real difference to the reality of everyday life. These are truths that we regularly need reminding of when Satan seeks to sow seeds of doubt or despair or discouragement in our hearts. Truth number one, if I'm a follower of Jesus, if I've trusted him by faith, I've been raised with Christ. Truth number two out of that is as it says here, you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. There's a security in that, and an assurance in that, despite our imperfections. Question number one, what do I need to be reminded of? Question number two, what do I need to get rid of? The three R's. Reminded. Second one, what do I need to get rid of? I don't know what it's like in your place, but at my place, I seem to be the one that's responsible for putting out the rubbish. Trouble is, the rubbish just keeps needing to be put out. And sometimes I'm a bit slow, or if you ask Michelle's take on it, a bit slack, to just do what needs to be done with it. Just put it out. Just get rid of the rubbish. She might be a bit of a clean freak, but I might be the opposite. I leave a trail behind me of rubbish. But Paul describes here in verses 5 to 9 the rubbish that needs to be got rid of from our lives, which isn't reflective of the life we have in Jesus, but that also breaks down community as God's people. And just like the rubbish in my house and in yours, the trouble is it's not just a one-off thing. It keeps needing to be put out or got rid of. And sometimes, just like I can be at home, we can be a bit slow to do that. And when we are slow to do that, what do we do? We give Satan a foothold in our life, in our relationships, or our community as God's people. And that's described in Ephesians chapter 4, where there's a very similar list of things to the list that we have here in Colossians 3. And it says there in Ephesians chapter 4, do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give him a foothold. Do not give him an opening. Some of the most destructive sins of all to relationships between community and between people in community are described here in Colossians 3. Let's look at them quickly. There's sexual. Paul starts with sexual immorality, impurity, and lust. Well, these are all things that destroy relationships within or outside of marriage. Destroy relationships from being good and life-giving as God created them to being distorted and to being damaged and devastating in their effect on people's lives. Then Paul says evil desires and greed. He describes next. And again, what do evil desires and greed particularly capture? They speak of a self-centered instead of a community focus. And as we read on, the specifics of how relationships and community can be broken down becomes even clearer. Anger, rage, and malice. These are all things that involve ways of reacting or responding to others relationally that are disrespectful or lack in self-control. Then slander. Slander is speaking about someone instead of speaking with them. And again, that can affect not just reputation, but it can affect relationships in community. Then Paul says filthy language and lying, highlighting the importance of being careful and controlled in how we speak. The point is, any of these things, our words, our attitudes, our actions, can be life-destroying instead of life-giving, not only for our spiritual health, but for indeed the spiritual health of the community of God's people, the spiritual health of marriages, the spiritual health of relationships, families, and any relationship. All these things are more individualistic and self-centered than community-orientated. And Paul says what? You need to be quick to get rid of them. What do I need to remember? What do I need to get rid of? And finally, this morning, what do I need to be renewed in? As we read on into verse 9 and 10, Paul says, you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which has been what? Which has been renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. From the very start of the Bible, it's actually clear that as God's people, we've been created to reflect the image of God. Right in the early verses in Genesis chapter 1, but then you don't have to go very far. You get into Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis 3, and you realize that image is distorted. It's distorted by sin and damaged by sin. And the rest of the Bible and the story of the Bible and the story of each of us who have been given new life through Jesus is all about the renewing of the reflection of God's image in and through us. God's work of renewal, though, isn't just an individual thing for our own benefit. God doesn't renew us just for us. It's a community project as far as God is concerned. He renews us as a part of his people to make us more the people together that God designed us to be. That's what is described here in verse 11. As you read straight after Paul describing being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Verse 11, Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Now to you, those words there might not be particularly relevant, but each of these things divided people in the world in which Paul first wrote these words. They were the main dividers. Slaves or whether people were slaves or free. It was a great barrier. So were the other things. Gentile or Jew, a great barrier. Circumcised or uncircumcised. Barbarian and Scythian. And Paul is basically saying, in God's community, it is to be different. In God's community, you are to be a people who do life and community together without the barriers that the world might bring. Regardless of your differences, you are to be God's people living in the new life that he's called you to, not just individually, but together. A week ago, I got a new phone. The old phone was gone, and the new had come. But what also needed to take place then didn't happen quite so easily. I had to sync, or the word for it is pair, my new phone with my watch. They both happened to be Apple products. And that didn't turn out to be as simple or as easy as I thought. I followed all the instructions, didn't work. I contacted Apple on the phone. I even sought Pastor Andy's help because he's more tech-savvy than I am. So I spoke to someone for ages on the phone, and at the end of that conversation, they said what I'd said at the start, I needed to go and see someone in the store. So I did all of that. Talked to Apple support, had a visit to the Apple store, all with the purpose of resetting my watch to function as it was meant to. I wonder, what needs to be reset in your life and in mine? For not only each of us individually, but together to function in a way that syncs us with God and with the new life that he has called us to instead of the old one that is gone. What needs renewing so that the image of God is more clearly reflected in and through you? What needs getting rid of so that you live in a God-honoring and thus an others-honoring way? And what do you need reminding of when it comes to who and what you are in and through Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for Jesus and the difference that he makes. The way that he came to this earth and lived life, died on a cross, gave his life for us to make possible a new life, and rose again to mean that we could live in the power of in resurrection power. Remind us, help us to be reminded afresh of the truth of that and what that means for our lives, the truth of what it means to be raised with Christ, the truth of what it means to live a new life with Christ. Help us to know the security and the assurance of our life being hidden in Christ, in and through Jesus. But God, by your Spirit, help us also to be quick to get rid of those things that would not be in line with that new life that you have for us to be living. Those things that not only affect us and our spiritual health, but affect our community as God's people and the spiritual health of God's people together. God, help us to be attentive to those things, attentive to addressing them and dealing with them and to be getting rid of them in and through your power. God, we recognize that all of us struggle along the way in the midst of life and in the midst of the challenges of the old nature and the old sinful nature. But thank you that we don't have to do that in our own strength. In and through Jesus, you are able to make all the difference. Help us to be renewed in this. Help us to be renewed in reflecting your image in our lives, in and through who we are, in and through our words, in and through our attitudes, in and through our actions. So continue by your grace to lead us forward into all that you have for us to be and do. And thank you that because of what you have done for us, that makes possible what we would not be capable of in and of ourselves. We ask these things
in and through Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.